wanted to share with you a few ideas about the holidays that we are celebrating here this month, and then try to actually look at it on a little bit deeper level to see if there's a common theme running through all of them, and what messages we can take home from them. So today's Pesach Sheni, right? What significance does that have for us today? Pesach Sheni. No Tachanun. Okay. No Tachanun. Very interesting. Anything else? Anyone know where we learn about Pesach Sheni? Bahalosa. Correct. Great. What happened? How did it come about?
Whoever was told me the first time around, I can bring the carbon and brought it today.
Correct. You bring the carbon Pesach, the second, they give them the opportunity to do it at a later date, a month later. It's called Moed Bet. In Israel, it's not something you're used to in America, but in Israel, there is a concept called Moed Bet. That any test, any official test you take, Bagrut, so there's a test, and there's always a chance to make it up. Moed Bet. Moed is also a holiday, right? Moed Bet. So there is most kids get through high school. There's Moed Bet. If they blow it the first time, they don't like to look at the test, they can walk away and take it Moed Bet. So we have a Moed Bet. It's very significant. That we can sort of have a makeup date. That if someone was Tameh or was Rachok, Bederech Rechoka, he's in a far, far off place, which, again, in the Sifrei Chasidut, means not only physically in a far place, but also in a spiritually, he feels like he's not ready, he's not where he needs to be in order to be in the Karmel Pesach, he's Bederech Rechoka, he's far, he's off the Derech, so to speak. Then he can have a second day where he can make up. Second chance opportunity, which is something that's very, very important. So on the surface level, the Pesach Sheni is a holiday that talks about a second chance. Second, which you don't always get in life, a second chance. But this is a great opportunity for us, a second chance to make up if we blew it the first time. Okay, we have this week Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is an interesting holiday. Something very different than what you've ever experienced in the past. Has anyone ever been to Israel for Lag BaOmer before? So this is a unique you have.
Yes.
Yeah. Is it?
It's crazy.
Crazy.
I don't actually remember it.
Okay. So crazy he doesn't remember it. Lag BaOmer is an unbelievable thing, especially when you compare it to your experience in America. What's Lag BaOmer in America, basically? Exactly, you go to school, right? You go to school, you the rabbi plays ninth man on first, he plays in the class.
Oh, for sure.
The song, ninth, what's it called? Ninth man, right? And then you go out and you play baseball in the park. That's basically Lag BaOmer in a nutshell in America. Maybe there's a bonfire at some point. Okay? But it's done in a very, obviously, you have to, with permits, the fire department is there keeping a distance that anyone can't get anywhere near the fire. Right? Because you need permits. You can't just make a fire in America. Municipal authorities have to be in on it, the fire department, and they keep all the children have to stay far away from the fire. So in Israel, you may have noticed, right, you've probably noticed like these things going up, these large pyres that are getting ready, or kids dragging tree trunks. Of course, have you seen these already? Have you seen these kids dragging pieces of wood? Any wood that's not attached to something, it's been taken. We used to have a bonfire here in Yeshiva, and we'd start the day to look for it, and there was nothing left. There was a few twigs maybe you can gather together, because everything else has been taken. Park benches are taken apart, building sites, are all the wood from building sites are removed by six-year-old kids. And they make, and everybody does it. Everybody makes a bonfire, you're religious, not religious. I once flew to America on Lag BaOmer night, and literally, when you flew over Israel, you saw the entire country in smoke. You see fire is, the entire thing is fire and smoke. You couldn't see, like, you know, other, that's all you saw out the window. And it's, again, it's an amazing thing. It's everybody participates. Every kind of Jew. Parents are usually, like, they lock up in their house, that everyone pulls down the tree, see him. You make sure that the doors are locked. And the kids are out the whole night by themselves. There's no adult supervision whatsoever in Israel. From, like, you know, kids 5 years old. They come back sometime 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Totally black face. You just see, like, the whites of their eyes. They've been literally in the fire, roasting marshmallows and hot dogs the entire night. In America, if there's a bonfire, so you get to put the hot dog on the end of a stick and you wave it in the direction of there once was a fire. And that was it. And then you microwave it. So it's a very, very different experience. And choose all the holidays of this month, of Chodesh Iyar. Next week you'll celebrate Yom Yishalayim, which is also an amazing, amazing experience. Which, if you haven't been there, you'll be dancing with thousands and thousands of young men and other people together towards Yerushalayim, Daglanut. It's a very, very impressive thing. Everyone gathers together at the Kotel, dancing. But there's a very, very deep idea behind Lag BaOmer, especially when you consider the fact that it's not found, the holiday of Lag BaOmer, if you look, it's not mentioned anywhere in the Torah, it's not mentioned, even in the Gemara, it's not mentioned Lag BaOmer. What we do have is the Gemara talks about what happened during the Sfiras HaOmer. During this time of year, which actually should have been a time of Simcha. The Ramban points out that the period between Pesach and Atzeret is parallel to the period between the first day of Sukkot till Shmini Atzeret. Just like you have Atzeret, the culmination of Sukkot with Shmini Atzeret, you have Shavuot, which is called Atzeret in the Torah, is the culmination of really the Yontif of Pesach, and all the 50 days in between are really days of what should be Chol HaMoed, which should be days of celebration. And Dafka, during this period of time, we practice Nehugi Avelos. We practice times of mourning. And that, as you all know, is because of the tragedy of 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva dying during this time. But it's very, what's the connection between the time period, which should have been Simcha, has now turned into Avelos, and then Lag BaOmer turns into a day of Simcha. What happened on Lag BaOmer that it's become the day of Simcha? They stopped dying. Okay? They stopped dying. Is that a reason for Simcha? Because they stopped dying. Does that make sense to anybody, that should be a day of Simcha? That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara Nivamas, Daf Samach Fenam Abet says, Pasku and Lag BaOmer, Pasku Bilamos. They stopped dying. It's brought down the Halach and Shulchan Aruch. And therefore we can now shave, we can now have weddings, and we have a big celebration. Those of you who are signed up to go to Meiron, if you're not, maybe after this talk you will sign up. It's an unbelievable experience. Nothing compares to it in any other day of the year or any other place in the world. It's only unique to Meiron. Somewhere between 500,000 to 1 million Jews go to Meiron. During this time, it's an unbelievable thing to experience. You thought, like, dancing in the shul in Krakow, those of you who were there, you know, was an amazing, amazing experience. You know, this is 10 times that in terms of numbers and all kinds of Jews. There you had a few different kinds of Jews. Here you really have every kind of Jew. You know, from you know, Hasidim, anti-Zionist to secular, everything in between, every kind of Jew, Ashkenaz, Sephardi, everything you have, every kind of Jew is represented there and dancing together. So what is the big celebration here? Because they stopped dying? Is that a reason to celebrate? They stopped dying?
Reshim Bar Yochai came out of the cave and revealed the Torah.
Okay, Reshim Bar Yochai we're going to get to in a second. But let's just try to understand the Gemara. We're going to go to on a deeper level, on the surface level. They stopped dying. What do you mean they stopped dying? Do we celebrate the end of the Holocaust? Does anyone know the day that the Holocaust ended? The day that we recognize in the calendar? Anyone know the date? Hebrew, English? Okay, May 9th, 1945. It's the last day that's the World War II ended. May 9th, 1945. May 8th, 1945. What day does it correspond to in the Hebrew calendar? Anyone know? Me neither. Because it's not something that they stopped dying. Now here's even more interesting. How many Talmidim did Rabbi Akiva have? 24,000 students. How many Talmidim died? 24,000. So they stopped dying. What mean they stopped dying? They stopped dying because everyone was dead. There's nobody left. What kind of celebration is that? They stopped dying? There was no one else to die. Everyone was dead. 24,000 died. That's everybody. At least the Holocaust, so 6 million died, but there was a remnant, right? It was one third of the Jewish people at the time. Or almost 80% of European Jewry, but there was something that was left. Here there was nothing left. So what is the celebration exactly? Yeah.
Didn't five survive?
Yeah, there were a couple left.
Five didn't survive, however, the Gemara continues. And this is you're right, and this is where we're going. Is that then what did it say? The Gemara says that then Rabbi Kiva picked up and he went. It says Yarad Ladarom, he went to the south and he taught five new students. He began to teach five new students. And of those five students, one of them was Rav Shem Bar Yochai, one of them was Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, one of them was Rav Meir Baalanes, who's actually Yortzai, was this past week. So he taught five students. Now this is really on a very simple level, on a very basic nigla level, on an obvious level, this is part of the celebration of Lag BaOmer. Celebration of Lag BaOmer is not that they stopped dying. Celebration of Lag BaOmer is, and we'll put it to you in this context. 24,000 students died during this time period, which were Talmid Rabbi Akiva. We, many of us in the room here, stood, and some of you maybe the year before when you went on your trip in your high school, you stood at a place called Zbilatovska Gora. Right? We stood over the graves of 800 children. 800 children. That place was a very difficult place, very, very dark place. Even though the sun was out and it was a beautiful day. But as far as for those of us who went on this trip, it was like our first like smack in the face we got. And it's a very difficult place. I'll actually be there on Wednesday. Thursday. I'll be there on Thursday. Now, we stood over the graves of 800 Jewish children. Now Rabbi Akiva stood over, if we take that Gemara literally, 24,000 of his students died during this period of 32 days of till Lag BaOmer. So it averages about a little bit less than 800 students a day. 800 students a day of Rabbi Akiva passed away. Like, it's like going to 700 Levayas a day. It's impossible. But everything that Rabbi Akiva built, he studied Torah for 40 years before he started to teach Torah. Right? He gave up a life that he was living. he gave up his 24 years, actually. 24 years that he left his wife, basically. She left her as Gemara Ksuvos described, they made fun of him that she is a married aguna. She's married, but her husband doesn't live with her. For 24 years he went to study Torah, and he comes back with 24,000 students. His whole life work goes up in smoke during this period of time. Everything that he did, all of his sacrifice, were in these 24,000 students. And now they're all gone. And every day, another 700, 800 students die. It's devastation. He must have been devastated. You can't even imagine what he must have felt like. He stood over 800 children that we didn't have a kesher with. These were 800 of his own children. Talmidim Hareyam Kibanim. These were his children. His offspring. His life's work. And one day after another, after another, after another, of death and destruction, and there's nobody left. Now most of us, if not all of us, would have just said, okay, God, if this is what you think of everything that I've done, the heck with you. I'm out. I've done what I could. But what did he do? He went, Yarad Ladaram, and he taught another 5 students. He didn't give up. He didn't throw in the towel. Out of the ashes of that period of time, he went and he continued to teach Torah. And from the Torah that he taught those 5 students, he had Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chaim. Basically, what we have, the Mishnah and the Talmud, Torah Sheva'al Peh, emerges from Rabbi Kiva and these new students. Lag BaOmer is a celebration of the renewal and of the strength of Rabbi Akiva, who didn't give up despite the tragedy that he suffered. And we can't imagine that kind of a tragedy. Just beyond description, the numbers just don't make. We can't wrap around 6 million. We can't wrap around 24,000 students. And he continues. And he taught Torah. And he didn't give up. And the Torah is rebuilt. Now, is that not the story of the Jewish people in modern times? Is that not the story of the State of Israel? Of what Yom HaTzmut is? 3 years after the Holocaust, after the loss of 6 million, you know, you have 600,000 Jews here surrounded by, looking like the chances are 0 to none. And you have these mostly made up of Holocaust survivors who've suffered terribly over the last, you know, 10 years. They fight and defeat our enemies. And a State of Israel emerges for the first time in 2,000 years. Jewish people have a place to go. They have a homeland. We didn't give up on God, and God didn't give up on us. For the first time in who knows how many years, in 20 years, I feel God is smiling on the Jewish people. Now that's on a very, very simple level. There's nothing, you know, that's just surface. That's on the surface. That's something that should be obvious to all of us. That's just reading the sources as they are. But there are deeper ideas here. And when you talk about Lag BaOmer, you have to talk about deeper ideas. Because something much bigger is going on in Lag BaOmer. And as though we mentioned, it's the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Again, it's a little bit ironic. The students of Rabbi Akiva, those 24,000, died during this time period, and then the date where they stopped dying, where everyone died, that date becomes the the date that Rabbi Shimon Yochai dies. And not only is it not the day of mourning, it's a day of celebration. We celebrate. It's a hilula of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's a celebration of his life. We mourn everyone else's death. Even Rabbi Akiva, we don't have a hilula for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who died in a tragic way, right? He died killed by the Romans. He was murdered, killed. Al Kiddush Hashem, for teaching Torah. So we don't have a celebration of his day, of his death, because of the way he died. Rabbi Shimon Yochai, we actually have a celebration, a hilula of Rashbi. Yeah, this is something that you don't hear about a lot in Chutz La'aretz. It's not really spoken about too much. And this is one of the things that relates to the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. The Torah of Eretz Yisrael is a deeper kind of Torah than anything you've experienced in Chutz La'aretz. And maybe even haven't really so much experience this year. But understand that there is a much deeper Torah. The Torah of the Pnimiyut Torah, the Torah Sasoid. Of a secret that's not that some people know it and then gets out, right? There's certain secrets that Jews are not very good at keeping secrets, right? As you know, the famous line of you probably heard it this year, of Sir Isaiah Berlin, famous philosopher, professor in Cambridge, who said, "I practice the Jewish way of keeping secrets. I only tell one person at a time." And that's, Jews can't keep secrets. It's known. It's what you do. And the miracle in and of itself. I have a son who's in a secret unit. I'm not supposed to tell you where he is. So I'm not. But I'll tell you this. Tell you two things. One is that it's a miracle to think that how bad Jews are keeping secrets, how much we're still able to have an unbelievable intelligence in the Israeli army. That not everything gets leaked on a WhatsApp, on a, and this is again before WhatsApp, right? Just that people don't share information as they probably do. Despite all that, somehow managed to. So just on, which is a pretty cool thing about the plan was when we went in Yom HaZikaron to Har Herzl. So unfortunately, things got delayed, and then just didn't happen afterwards. So we wanted to visit certain kfarim. So one of the places I usually go to visit is the Kever of Yoni Netanyahu. And last year we went, after the Tekes, we went to Yoni Netanyahu's Kever, and that's where his family goes as well, after the Tekes. And usually we see the Prime Minister, Yoni's family. So my plan was to go there this year. Now I bumped into one of my, I have two sons in the army, I bumped into one of them. Some of you guys were with me at the time, I bumped into one of my sons. In Har Herzl, but the second one, I didn't know if he. I had a feeling he was there, but there's no way I could know. My first son, he has his phone with him, so I was able to WhatsApp with him. But the other son is not allowed to have his phone on with him, and he's not allowed to have his phone at all during the time he's in the army, except like you give it to him for 5 minutes Erev Shabbat. That's when we speak to him. And so. I didn't see him in Harvard, so I figured he wasn't there. And Erev Shabbat last week, so he called us and says, "By the way, I was at Herzl." I go, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, I was there. I didn't have my phone, so I couldn't contact anybody. I told us if you see anybody, you know, you just nod and ignore them." That's what they were told. So he said, "But they placed us at." Like you saw soldiers, I'm sure you saw soldiers standing at a kever, somebody from their yechida. So if you were in Shiryon, you're in tanks, so you stood, there were two, where I was standing with a lot of you guys here, we were standing at the kever of Saril Birnbaum, he was in tanks, so there was two guys in tanks standing next to us at a kever. So he, the yechidah that he's in, he stood by somebody from his yechidah, from his unit. He said, "Where, you know, guess where I was standing?" I said, "Mano Moreno." He says, "No, Yoni Netanyahu." So he was told to stand there, and he actually ended up meeting the prime minister. But when we talk about Torah HaSod, we're not talking about a secret that we can't keep. And some people have an in on the secret, other people don't. It means it's, by definition, it's something that we never fully get. It's a secret and it remains a secret. Even if you hear about it, even if you learn Pnei Mitzvah Torah, it's still a sod, it's still a secret. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai is the one who revealed, on some level, this Torah HaSod, while still remaining a secret. He's the one who authored the Zohar, which is the main work of this Pnei Mitzvah Torah, of this hidden Torah. Again, it's not the only part of hidden Torah. There's a lot of different parts of hidden Torah, but this is one part of it. It's the main work of, just like the Bavli is the main work of Torah Shabbat Peh, but it's not all Torah Shabbat Peh. The Zohar is the main work of Pnei Mitzvah Torah, but not the only part of Pnei Mitzvah Torah. And he taught the Zohar. The Zohar is mostly deals with the creation of the world, the deeper understanding of how the world came into being, how the world is run, what God's relationship is with this world, and how man can affect and change in the world. And Rabbi Shmuel Yochai basically taught things that appeared to be, on the surface, appeared to be impossible. He explained ideas that are so difficult to grasp, that on the surface seem like contradictory ideas. For example, we're not going to go into it now, it's a whole long shiur, but just the Saber to Ozen, just to give you an example of what I mean by something that, by definition, it's contradictory, and he goes on to explain how this contradiction can still be in existence. There's a concept, and when God created the world, there's a big question. How can God, who is infinite, create a world which is finite? How can we exist in a world where God exists, where God is everything, is infinite? So in order to try to explain this idea, the Zohar talks about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzem himself. Is what's called a contraction, tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is that God is, his light is Ein Sof, his light is infinite, and so in that great light, nothing else can possibly exist. So he's mitzamtzem himself, he contracts himself, and by contracting himself, he creates, so to speak, space. We're not talking about real space, but creates a space for the world to exist. For finite beings, the universe, man, space to exist. So he creates an empty space. Again, when we talk about space, we don't really mean space as we know it. But he creates an empty space in which now something other than God can exist. However, at the same time, there's still a concept of late atar panui mine. You can't possibly have existence were God not there. If God is not creating that existence, then that existence could not exist. So while God, on the one hand, contracted himself and created this, so to speak, space in order for us to exist, at the same time, God is very much present in that space, because otherwise we could not exist at all. Late atar panui mine, there is no place that's absent of God. So that is a contradiction. God is absent and present at the same time. And the Zohar explains how that is possible. What is the mechanics of that? And it has a lot of consequences in terms of actually how we live our lives. And the world of Chassidut, which builds on, sort of clothes the world of Kabbalah into language that we can sort of grasp and we can sort of have a handle on, it clothes the Kabbalah and explains how these things have practical consequences for us. Why that idea is important in terms of our interaction with the world and our own growth, our own connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I'm heading towards the conclusion here. One of the impossible things that Rav Shmuel Yochai taught us is the concept of camaraderie and friendship. This period of time that we're in, the period of time why we're in mourning, why is it that we're mourning during this period of time? Is because 24,000 students of Rebbe Kiva died. And they died because, the Gemara says, why did they die? Shelo navu kavod ze baze. Because they didn't show proper respect one to the other. Now those 24,000 students of Rebbe Kiva, the Rebbe Kiva who taught, ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha ze klal gadol v'Torah. Right? Not that you need Rabbi Kiva to tell us that pasuk. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's one of the central teachings of the Torah. If not, according to Hillel, it was the central teaching of the Torah. The Gemara in Shabbos said when the ger comes to Hillel and says, convert me on the condition that I stand on one foot. And Hillel says to him, okay, I'll convert you. Shammai throws him out, right? But he converts him. It says, Koma the Sani Lech Alta Atas Lechabrecha, right? Whatever is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. The Idach Zilgmar. The Shara Torah Perushahi. Right? The Idach Perushahi Zilgmar. That's what he says. The Idach Perushahi Zilgmar. And everything else of Torah is just a perush on that Yisod. The Yisod of the Torah, Hillel says, is that what's hateful to you, don't do to your friend. The converse of Ehavta Recha Kamocha. That is the entire Torah. The rest of the Torah is just a parish of that. Go and study it. You'll see how the Torah is really a reflection of that. In other words, in the Yisod HaDvarim, in the essence of the Torah is about loving your fellow man, about friendship, about camaraderie. The students of Rabbi Kiva, who taught this as the most central concept of the Torah, did not act this way. Whatever that means, shalom nagu kavod zebazeh, whatever level, whether it's on a minute level, some say that they actually had physical fights, or whether it was just slight insults, however you want to interpret it, on whatever level, according to their level, according to our level, point is that there was a breakdown in the chevra. There was a breakdown in friendship. The breakdown in the camaraderie of these students. What should have been the tightest, closest friendship. A friendship that's based on Torah. Based on a common destiny. On a common outlook on life. Broke down. Medrash teaches us that one of the central teachings of Rabbi Shimon says like this: Tanya Am Rabbi Yosi, Pam Achas Hayol Olam Tzarach LeGeshamim. The world needed rain. Bo Lifnei Rabbi Shimon. So before Rabbi Shimon Yochai came, Rabbi Yisa, Rabbi Chizkiya, Rabbi Shara Chaverim. The whole chaver came. Rabbi Shimon. Matzu shai holech, hu uvno Rabbi Elazar. Lilros es Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Rabbi Shimon is walking with his son. We're going to see Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Kevet shiro sam patach amar shir hamalos. Hine matovu manaim shevet achim gam yacha. Saw them and says, how wonderful it is to see Shevet Achim Gam Yachad, brothers coming together, sitting together. What does it mean, Shevet Achim Gam Yachad? Eilu heim ha-chaverim b'shah she-yoshim yachad ve'einim nifradim zemizah. How wonderful it is when you have friends who sit together and they don't pull apart from each other, they don't separate. Beginning, they appear to be people who are ready to fight each other. They want to kill each other. But in the end, they become one of that towards each other, acting towards each other with love and friendship, camaraderie. Gam ba lechol ashchina imahem. Kadosh Baruch Hu sits with them. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he says Sheves Achim Gam Yachad, he includes himself, the Shechina, with them. V'lo'od, not only this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makshiv l'diburam. Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to their what they're saying. V'yesh lo nachat v'hu sameach b'hem. And he has nachat and he finds joy and simcha with them. And he says, "Vatema chavirim shevekan," says Rabbi Shimon to them, "Kimo shayitim bechavibus be'ahava mikodem lechayim." Just have you been with this tremendous love for each other? Gam mikan lahala lotit pradu mizem izeh. From here on in, don't separate from each other. Ad shakadosh baruch hu yismach imachem v'yikra aleichem shalom v'yimtze bezchutchem shalom ba'olam. And because of you, there will be peace in the world. One of the famous lines of Rav Shimon Yochai is, "Bechavivuta talya milta." With love, everything is dependent upon love, on camaraderie, on friendship. Everything is talya in this. To wrap up, try to answer our questions. Try to see the deeper idea here that we're trying to move towards is as follows. My friends, we mentioned that on the surface that Pesach Sheni is about a second chance. But that second chance opportunity was a response to a claim by the Jewish people. They came before God and they said something very interesting. They said, again, as Parshas Baloscha, as Yitz pointed out, they come before God and they say as follows. Vayomru anashim hema elav, anachnu tmeim nefesh adam, lama nigara levilti akriv et karban Hashem b'moladov v'toch b'nei Yisrael. They came to Kadosh Baruch Hu, came to Moshe, and they said, Moshe, just because we're tamei, why should we be worse off than everyone else? Lama nigara? Why should we have less? Why should we do less, actually? They were putter. Onus rachmana patre. They were tame. Tame often, the Gemara says that they were tame because they were osek in a meis mitzvah. They were involved in a meis mitzvah, they were burying the dead, and they were doing a mitzvah. So onus rachmana patre. Right? They had every right to miss the Karban Pesach because they were involved in another mitzvah. They're not chayav. They're putter. And yet here they came, despite the fact that they were putter, that they had an out, they came before Hashem and they said, "Why? We still want to do the mitzvah. Just because we're putter, that brings us no joy that we're putter, that we don't have to do it. We want to do it, despite that we don't have to do it. We want to do it. We want to do more. We don't want to do less. We want to do more." We want to do the mitzvah, the meis mitzvah, and we want a chance to do this mitzvah also. Why should we lose out? So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, you know what? We're going to give them an opportunity to do another mitzvah. We'll have a Pesach Sheni, not only for them, but the Doros. Because of that desire to want to be more and to do more, despite the fact that they're putter. Now think about it. You know, I'm not here to embarrass anybody. But one of the things about our definition of Pesach Sheni is that, we don't have to say Tachanun today. Right? We don't have to say Tachanun today. We're putter from Tachanun. Again, I'm like you guys. I'm relieved you don't have to say Tachanun. I'll be honest. And how many times do we we come to shul and maybe we don't have to say Tachanun, or maybe it's a bris in the morning, maybe we can find a chassan, or maybe someone can get engaged before the day's over. Like, we look for those opportunities where we don't have to do it. Right? We can get out of it. But Pesach Sheni is about the desire to want to do more, be more. Another mitzvah. Another way to get closer to Kodesh Baruch. Which leads us to Lag BaOmer, which is a time when we say, you know what? Torah Tzanigla, the revealed Torah, is beautiful. But I want more. I want to understand it in a deeper way. I want to know everything. Is there a reason that any one of us studying yeshiva should not at least have a desire to want to know everything there is to know? Well, we'll never get there. We may never get there. Unlikely we'll ever get there. But that the desire should exist, I want to know everything. I want to know Yerushalmi. I want to know the Shildas of Rabbi Chaim Gom and the parish that the Tziv wrote on the Shildas of Rabbi Chaim Gom. That I may never get to it, but that I should want to know it. I want to do more. I want to do less. There's a, for another time, but there's a big battle going on in the social media world about modern orthodoxy and different camps within modern orthodoxy. But one of the recent articles that just came out was echoing an idea that I've always felt to be true. And that is, modern orthodoxy is about being more, not being less. It's more challenging than being Haredi Orthodox. It's being more. Where some people see modern orthodoxy as being less and arguing that it should be less. To try to be everything to everybody, to try to do more and more and more, and to try to learn more, and want at least a desire to learn more. And that desire should never wane. Desire to know more and to know everything should never wane. I may find I have less time to do it, and more obligations, other obligations that I have in my life, but to desire to do more should never be less. Which brings us to the last thing that I want to just is the idea of the breakdown in friendship that I believe happened between Rabbi Kiva's students. Happened when the desire to know more came at the expense of my chaver. I want to know more than him. He thinks he knows more than me. I want to know more than him. I want to be the guy. I want to be the Talmud, the prize Talmud. And I'm better than him. Who does he think he is? That kind of thing, which unfortunately happens in yeshivas, I think is what was the downfall of that friendship. That's not friendship. Friendship, real friendship, is that I want more, and I want my chaver to have more. And if he knows more than me, great. And if he davens longer than I do, great. It's not about me or him, it's about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Is this going to bring more nachas to Kaddish Baruch Hu? So let him know more than me. It's not about comparing me to him. It's not about judging him. It's a breakdown of all that smallness of mind that we often have that sometimes takes over in our pursuit of study, Torah, and pursuit of mitzvah. And I think what Rabbi Shimon taught us on Lag BaOmer is the idea of what he called the b'chavivus atalia milsa, everything depends on love. Love of Kadosh Baruch Hu, love of man, v'ahavta v'ahavta, those are the two v'ahavtas in the Torah, parallel, loving your fellow man, loving God, they go hand in hand. The more I love God, the more I'm going to love my friend. The more I love my friend, the more I'll love God. And chevra that we have, that you have, is so important. One of the teachings of that there's three parts that a person has to have in his life is a chaver, tzaddik, and a kadosh baruch hu. Three parts to the pie. Now a chaver could be, hopefully for you, it will be your wife, it will be your closest friend. But until that day comes, your chevra is so, so important. And it's not only for this year, but it's going forward. To keep the chevra going. And to care deeply about one another. And to be happy when he gets the job, and he gets the girl, and he excels in the test, he gets the higher grade, to be just as happy for him as if it was yourself. That's a reflection of doing everything because you want more to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to learn more. I want to know more. When you go, those of you who go, and if you haven't signed up yet, maybe you should sign up. It's worth it just for this. You go to Meiron, and it's packed. And you go with. You're in the middle of thousands and thousands of people. Mikvi Yisrael Hashem, one of the Rebbe's, I think it was the Vision to Rebbe, who one time couldn't get to the mikvah, there was no mikvah, it was frozen, he couldn't get to it, so he just immersed himself in other Jews. Mikvi Yisrael Hashem, the Jewish people are the mikvah. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, Ma Mikveh Mitaras Atzmei Acha Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitaras Yisrael. You're going to be in a mikveh of Jews. You're going to feel like you're in a mikveh. It's going to be hot, sweaty, and every kind of Jew is there. And you're dancing. Again, all the mechitzos, all those things that often separate us are sort of like fall away. And even if you're pushed, you're trying to get on a bus, and you're pushed, if you're full of love, that, you know, even when push comes to shove, literally, it doesn't faze you. We all want to experience and get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the tzaddikim, to each other. Mirat Hashem, should all be zocha to a tremendous aliyah during this time of year, to continue to build on that desire to get closer to God, closer to our friends, and it should lead us to Sheves Achim Gam Yachad, the ultimate Sheves Achim Gam Yachad, the Bias Gold Tzedek. Thank you for listening.